Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to the official Redbird Rant podcast, episode number 18. This is a very special 30-minute podcast dedicated to all things trade deadline. The trade deadline is tomorrow, Monday, the 31st of July, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 3 p.m. Central for those of you keeping score at home. I'm joined today by my co-editor, Tito Rivera. Tito, welcome aboard.
Thank you. It's a great win on a Sunday. It's going to be an interesting 24 hours from here on out.
Oh, I think so, too. And I'm really glad that we decided to put together at least a 30-minute little special for everybody, because I know that if Cardinal Nation is anything like me, they're hitting that F5 key or hitting the refresh or sliding their phone down to get their Twitter feed to refresh so they can see what might have happened in the last 2 or 3 seconds since we hit that button. Have you been going through that today as well?
Yep. I was in Lebanon, Missouri this last weekend, and I probably spent about 80% of it on my phone. So I feel bad, but hey, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it's been quite an interesting weekend, right? I mean, we heard a lot of different rumors rolling around. We have published several pieces today and in the last couple of days on Redbird Rants all about rumors and things that we had heard or potential guys on the move. And so let's just dive in and let's actually start today. I posted earlier today about this special podcast, and in that post I put in there a way to email us questions or to send to our Twitter feed any questions. And I want to give a huge shout out to Scott D, who sent us an email and asked a question that we have talked about, but I think it becomes a little more prescient as we move closer to that trade deadline. And so, Tito, Scott's question, he actually sent us two of them. Let's go with the first one, because we like to beat up on Josh as well. And so Scott asked if the Cardinals could potentially get some bullpen help if they were to trade Grichuk. What do you think about that? And before you answer, let me just remind you that in the last podcast that I was on hosting with you and Josh, Josh said he would sell on Randall Grichuk. Take it away.
Sure. So thanks, Scott D, for your question. It's an interesting question at this point because we've seen Trevor Rosenthal come out of nowhere, it feels like, to almost be the saving grace for the Cardinals over this weekend. His eighth and ninth inning performance from Friday's game, you know, was the best I've ever seen him pitch. Then today he comes back out and gets the save to lock up a 3-2 win for the St. Louis Cardinals. So this question actually becomes very, very relevant to what's going on. And let's put it this way. If we are going to trade Randall Grichuk this coming Monday or even later tonight, the answer to your question, Scott, is yes, we could get bullpen help for a trade for Randall Grichuk. It just depends on where you're going to send him and who you're going to get in return. Now, I personally have said before that Randall Grichuk might be a good piece to send to the Detroit Tigers for Justin Wilson, the Tigers closer. That would be a pretty good fit, one, because the Tigers just got rid of J.D. Martinez, so they might be looking for some outfield help that's major league talent outfield. And also MLB ready. And the Cardinals, you know, it's obvious that the bullpen is just not as good as it has been in years in the past. And to bolster the bullpen with Justin Wilson, you know, you're talking about a legitimate closer. You could slide Trevor Rosenthal back into the eighth inning. It seems that somehow Sung Hwan Oh has finally found some kind of groove, maybe in the seventh inning and a little bit of the eighth. So you're talking about stabilizing the ship, and I truly think that Randall Grichuk could be on the move. to the Detroit Tigers, at least. Another place that you could, you know, theoretically put him in is the Cleveland Indians. Now, the Cleveland Indians are probably not going to move any of their closers, but you could theoretically say, hey, you know, we're giving you Randall Grichuk, and we'd like Cody Allen in return. They're not going to move Andrew Miller because of what he was capable of doing in the postseason, but Cody Allen is an interesting choice. Now, I doubt that they would go for that, but that's just, let's just say a hypothetical. The more likely of the case is probably Detroit, and I would like to see Justin Wilson on the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, and you know, I was just pulling him up to see where the interest lies currently. The Red Sox are out on Justin Wilson by all reports, so that doesn't look like a likely landing spot. It looks now like, I mean, the Yankees could still be in on Wilson. The Nationals could be in on Wilson. The Astros could be in on Wilson. You know, I'm just scrolling down trying to find other places. I mean, those seem to be the big ones, you know, and we could be a dark horse that comes in. I mean, we've got somebody in Randall Grichuk who I think would do very well in the American League. And I think he'd find success. Yeah, I think he'd find better success. Especially in those ballparks that he would be facing going up to the AL Central. I mean, you look at those power hitters and the characteristics they display, and I just see Randall Grichuk lining up nicely with those. He just has a real hard time with National League hitting, and I think that'd be a great fit, honestly. I love that idea from you.
And the good thing to think about here is that if you look at Randall Grichuk's contract, he is arbitration eligible for the next 3 years before becoming an unrestricted free agent in 2021. So you're giving up quite a bit of control for a player that still has some really big upside for a closer that's, you know, only has, I think, a year or two left on his contract. So your number of controlled years weighs heavily in favor for the Cardinals. To get this deal done. So it's definitely a spot that they would consider. Now, the one big question, if you do go get him, is he is a left-handed pitcher. You have Kevin Seager, Zach Duke, and Brett Cecil already in there, and Tyler Lyons. So you're just throwing in another left-handed pitcher. So it might be a combination of where you see, you know, Kevin Seager and Randall Grichuk going to the Detroit Tigers. That might be a move.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I'll tell you, my first gut reaction that came when you said that about having Segrist and Cecil and Lyons, I mean, those guys are not on the same plane with a Justin Wilson. So it's kind of tough to say we may shy away from adding a Justin Wilson because of those guys. I don't think that would be solely the reason to not take a flyer on him. And I think we absolutely should, if for nothing else, just to get Grichuk moved. So let's go to Scott's second question. So Scott's second question was, he said that he would like to see an outfield that had Tommy Pham in center and Dexter Fowler in left. Let me give you my thought on that, because I've actually written about that before. There's a great piece on Redbird Grant's great because I wrote it, but it's out there, and it says that, you know, it really looks at the numbers, and in truth, the numbers argue for Tommy Pham to play center in terms of his range, his defensive prowess, his abilities over Dexter Fowler. Now, here is the catch. As much as I would like to see that happen, I don't think we're going to see that happen. I think, unless we have a different manager, because I think that the way that Matheny operates his team and the way that the Cardinals operate their organization, you know, they signed Dexter to a big deal. And part of that signing was, hey, Dexter, you're going to be our center fielder. And I think there's some myopathy, some short-sightedness in sticking with that when numbers argue differently. But that, I believe, is the cardinal way. So, Scott, I love your question, and I would love to see the outfield that you speak of. I just don't think we're going to.
Yeah, it is a great question, and it's something that I've also written about. And, yes, it is great because I wrote it as well. But it talks about, you know, a couple weeks ago where Dexter Fowler kind of said, you know, I'm the center fielder. You know, he was pretty vocal about it and saying, you know, nobody's going to take that away from me. And I'm on the same kind of wavelength as he is because, again, he was brought to St. Louis to play center field. That's his position. And I know a lot of people were upset, actually, about it, and a lot of people questioned my article saying, you know, well, the numbers are say differently. My point to them is this. If Dexter Fowler feels the most comfortable in center field and he believes that that is the only position he can do well enough to contribute to the team, you're going to have to keep him there. I don't care if he, you know, you think he might make a better left fielder, but if he believes that he can contribute the most as a center fielder, then good. Because guess what? You have another center fielder playing left field that can cover that range as well. So it really doesn't make that much of a difference. Now, the only other exception is that you're – what about right field to center field? Well, as we've seen, Piscotty can play a decent right field. Magnair Sierra, when he gets to the St. Louis organization, can play a really nice right field. So, again, it's not whether the numbers dictate. It's about the team first. And, yes, I know that's kind of ironic because of the numbers, and you say, well, team first, you should put him there. But if Dexter Fowler believes that he is the best center fielder for this team, you have to roll with that. And you know what? If you didn't think so, then you shouldn't have signed him to a that big of a contract.
Yeah, I completely, completely agree. And I tell you what, let's do this. Scott, again, thank you so much for your questions. We will probably circle back to this because we're going to take one quick break. And when we come back from the break, we're actually going to look at some of the names that Tito and I have tossed around of Cardinals who are potentially on the move or should be on the move. And then we'll also talk about some stuff that we may see the Cardinals pick up in the next day or two. So stick with us. We'll be right back. Hey, thanks for sticking with us. You're listening to the special trade deadline edition of the Redbird Rants podcast. This is actually episode number 18. What a great time to be talking about the St. Louis Cardinals. And before the break, we teased and said that we were going to talk about some of the players who could potentially be on the move. And Tito, I know that the Indians have been connected, and the thought is that the Indians may have some interest in Tommy Pham, maybe Randall Grichuk. Let me just tell you, and then I'd love for you to talk to us more about that because I know you wrote about it. I just want you to know that Tommy Pham is currently ranked 2 wins above replacement spots ahead of Nolan Arenado. Let that sink in. So tell me, what do you think about Tommy Pham, the Indians, and what the Cardinals could get back from them?
It's interesting to analyze this, and once that news broke of the Cleveland Indians being interested in Tommy Pham and Randall Grichuk, you know, I immediately went to ESPN.com to check out what the outfield situation was like for the Cleveland Indians, because that's a pretty, you know, you're talking about last year's AL champs, you know, looking for some help like Tommy Pham and Randall Grichuk, and maybe that speaks more to how Tommy Pham has done, as you pointed out, with a you know, 2 spots above Nolan Arenado in the war department. But I took a look, and if you take a look, you'll notice that right now they're operating on a really, really light outfield. Michael Brantley is in left field, and, you know, he was their center fielder, but now he's in left field. He's a shell of the player he was about 2 to 3 years ago. And now you have a platoon of Austin Jackson and Bradley Zimmer in center field. And then you have a meager, you know, Brandon Guyer in right field. Now, Guyer is only there because Lonnie Chisenhall is on the 10-day DL. But I think Chisenhall is on his way back sometime soon. And so the Indians are looking for somebody that can plug center field, be a speedy guy with some upside in power. And that's honestly the two candidates that they're looking at in Tommy Pham and Randall Grichuk. Now, this is where it gets interesting. If you're the Cardinals, you have to ask yourself, who would you rather lose at this point? And who is going to bring you the more upside? You could argue that both could do it. Randall Grichuk is the younger player, has more control, probably offers more upside than Tommy Pham, but Tommy Pham, as you mentioned, is having a really, really nice season. And he is, by trade, a center fielder. So that could be something that the Indians have to balance. But if I'm the Cardinals right now, you have to sell the player that you think is going to give you the best return possible. And right now, that's going to be Tommy Pham. And as disappointed as I am of not being Randall Grichuk, Tommy Pham is the only one that's going to get you as good a return as you think. Because you could use Randall Grichuk in a bigger piece to get a bigger bat, I think. But Tommy Pham is going to net you, somebody in their farm system that's worth the time. Now, the interesting thing is who? Because the Cleveland Indians, remember last year, gave up a boatload of prospects to go get Andrew Miller. So their farm system is going to be very, very thin. So it'll be very hard for the Cardinals to say, okay, this is worth what it's worth. And at the same time, the Indians are going to come back and say, well, Tommy Pham is older. You know, he's 29 going on 30. So he's not getting any younger, and this is just a career year. So, you know, you've got to come down on your asking price too. So that's where we're at. If I'm the Cardinals, though, I'm looking for a return that might get me some bullpen help in the future, and it also might be somebody that's, either in the infield at third base or shortstop. And if you go to my go to the redbirdranks.com section, and look up my Cleveland Indians piece, I do list a couple of players that are worthy of a potential trade.
Yeah, and that's why I asked you, because I knew that you had already done that. And those names I could absolutely see the team reaching out to and going for. And it just really intrigues me. I'll tell you something else that intrigues me, and let's circle to this just in the interest of moving through with our time. Lance Lynn, was today his last time to pitch for the Cardinals? You know, I'm kind of torn on this, Tito. I'm going to be real honest with you, because part of me says yes, today was the last day, and that we're going to see him dealt probably tomorrow. I don't think he'll go tonight. You know, the Cardinals historically have made a lot of their moves on, trade day, on deadline day. I think that Mozeliak and the organization like to watch and see what things are happening around them, you know, to make the right choice. But I think that, I think Lynn's gone. But at the same time, there's a big part of me who says Lynn is not gone. And I don't know that they should give up Lynn right now. I mean, what do you think?
If it's any consolation to you, I'm also torn with this on whether he should go or not go. But in the interest of your question, I will say that Lynn is going to stay with the Cardinals, because I think any team willing to deal for Lynn wouldn't have let him pitch today. I think he would have gone, he would have been a late scratch, and the Cardinals, you would have seen a hashtag hug watch up on Twitter. So
yeah, I'm with you there.
I don't think Lynn is gone. Now, this is where the interesting part lies, is remember earlier this week, Ken Rosenthal sent out a tweet that said, if the Cardinals kept Lynn at the trade deadline, they were more than likely not going to offer him a qualifying offer. And as I said, a couple days ago in our most recent podcast, that would be the most idiotic thing I've seen in baseball for a really, really, really long time. And actually not that long, because of Matt Adams in left field. But for them not to offer, Lynn a qualifying deal, that means that the Cardinals made the wrong decision in not trading him. And, his value at this point is not going to get any lower. But once he signs that extension, if he stays with the Cardinals, his value is locked in. You're not going to get anything in return, because he's just going to get older at that point. Now, the only other option is that the Cardinals do sign into an extension and then deal him. But that's probably too crazy. If they hold on to him, though, I'm really interested on what's going to happen in the winter. Because if you sign him to an extension, I guarantee you the Cardinals deal some young prospects and potentially land a big bat.
Listen, I completely agree with every word that just came out of your mouth. And I will tell you, I'll even go a step farther. I predict that he does stay, and I predict that they do give him a qualifying offer. And the thing that really points to that for me is they gave one to John Lackey. And why would you give a QO to John Lackey if you were not going to give one to Lance Lynn, unless you're going to, sign him to an extension?
That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, that's what that screams to me. You talked about, you know, if a team were interested in Lance Lynn, they would have stopped him from pitching today. And that might well be true, but it also might not, because it could be where they want to slot him into their rotation, that the slot they would put him in would have pitched today. So they're okay with him pitching. So then let's look at some potential suitors for that. And really, you and I pushed pretty hard for him to potentially land with the Yankees at one point. That's now over. That's gone. They've gone elsewhere. They actually picked up another former Cardinal in Jaime Garcia, which I'm sorry, but I kind of giggled at that, because I don't really see Garcia as a big addition for someone who's trying to push to the postseason, but the Yankees did. I wonder, and I actually joked about this within our Twitter group, within our writers, as the game went on today, I kept posting things to our chat group about, oh, Boston has picked up the phone. No, Boston has hung up the phone now. No, Boston has picked up the phone. Now Boston has dialed a 314 telephone number. You know, I think that of the teams that are sitting out there, Lance Lynn fits nicely with Boston. But then you have this little wrinkle that Houston is interested in him. That really threw me for a whole loop there. Houston came out of nowhere. Boston, I can absolutely see them calling. I mean, what do you think?
First, I want to slightly comment on Jaime Garcia, because my dad's listening in on this one. I'm sorry, Dad, but you're stuck with Garcia and the Yankees. but Houston's not a surprise to me, actually, because I actually said that Houston, and I know Josh and I kind of agree on this one, that Houston was a potential landing spot for Lynn from the very beginning, because their rotation was not really that solidified. You know, Lance McCullers was not having a great year. He got injured. Dallas Keuchel was injured for a little bit. He, I think, is on the return here soon. So Houston still had some rotation questions. And don't forget, they were also in on the Sonny Gray. So that kind of gave you an indication that they were looking for starting pitching as well. Now, I did write about Boston and Lance Lynn being there, but that is another tricky scenario as well, because remember, they just gave up pieces for, I believe it was Chris Sale, and they gave up pieces for Eduardo Nunez. So their farm system is starting to look a little thin as well. So you really, really have to dig for who is going to be somebody that can be acquired for Lance Lynn. And again, I look at the infield farm system for the Boston Red Sox, and I look at what they have that might be available to us. They have a nice third baseman in the form of Michael Chavis, I believe is how his last name is pronounced. He right. doesn't stack up to what Rafael Devers is, but he's still a pretty good third baseman. He's got a plus arm, can throw across the diamond. He'll need a little work with his hands, but that could stabilize the third base position for the Cardinals and give them a chance to really have a good solid infield.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback on what you just said, because you mentioned Sonny Gray, and currently Sonny Gray is still laying out there. All indications seem like he's going to the Yankees. So here's my question to you. If he lands on the Yankees, do the Red Sox, do the Astros pick up the phone and dial a 314 number?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to. You know, again, I've been saying it all trade deadline, play off the desperation of other teams. Somebody is going to be desperate enough to give you a call and say, hey, I'll give you Rafael Devers for Lance Lynn. And if John Mozeliak like doesn't make that trade, that'll be one of the worst decisions he's ever made. And so, like I said, play off the desperation of these other teams. Think about how the Royals have been playing. Look at the desperation. You know, at one point I thought the Indians might even be interested in Lance Lynn just because the Royals were doing so well and because the Royals had actually picked up the phone on Lance Lynn. So, you know, play off this desperation of the other teams, you know, getting better inside their divisions and see if you can come to a deal with the team so that it makes it possible for the Cardinals to potentially use those prospects or use the prospects in a trade.
I think that's fantastic. Now, we've got 5 minutes left, so I want to hit on two big names. One of them is Tyler O'Neill, who the Cardinals picked up in the trade where they sent Marco Gonzalez to Minnesota. And we had a special guest join us on our the podcast when you and I and Josh were together, and we got the scouting report. The man's tearing it up. He's doing a nice job. I think he's going to be really great with this system. And originally I thought he was going to be flipped. I want to go on record and say I don't see him being flipped. I think the Cardinals are going to hold on to him. Now, that being said, I think the name that the Cardinals are more than likely, at least from my perspective, to go get is Josh Donaldson. And I've written about him, and I could see a lot of names being sent, you know, up to the great snowy north. What do you think about the possibility of getting, you know, a Josh Donaldson? And let me tell you too quickly, I really felt prior to today's game that Colton Wong was a more likely name to head up there so that Jerko could slide over to second. I don't know that from the performance they saw today with some of the blunders in the field from Wong, if he's the name that gets shopped to them. But I do think there's a great possibility that Donaldson is coming to the Cardinals. And I'm going to let you have the last 3 minutes. Go have at it.
Sure. You know, this is a definite topic that we've hit on multiple times. And I'll go on the record and saying if Josh Donaldson comes to the Cardinals, it's not a bad thing. It's obviously a very good thing. At the same time, it's almost a rental piece. I mean, you're going to have him for this year and then 2018. But at that point, you have to make another decision and say, hey, are we going to extend him? And he's already, you know, 31, 32 at that point. Regardless of that, though, getting Josh Donaldson means you're going to give up quite a bit to get him. I mean, this is a former AL MVP. You know, he's having a rather down year, but maybe that's more due to injury than it is anything else. And I'm going to go ahead and say that it is. But again, you have that, you know, infield logjam of what's, you know, of what is the Cardinals infield. And it would make more sense for the Cardinals to really go out for somebody like Giancarlo Stanton, in my opinion, that has way more upside than Josh Donaldson and really will solidify an outfield, because the Cardinals have outfield prospects to deal from, not the infield. And so if the Marlins are going to lose an outfielder, they're going to want to gain somebody in the outfield that can really help. So, you know, your Tyler O'Neill, while he is doing great, that's somebody that the Cardinals could easily flip. You know, it's not going to just be him, but Tyler O'Neill is easily somebody that the Cardinals could use in a situation where to get Giancarlo Stanton. And you know, maybe that happens this trade deadline, or maybe it happens in the winter. You know, all reports are indicating that the Cardinals actually are probably not going to get a big bat this trade deadline, and more so in the offseason, which, you know, if that's the case, I'm almost willing to throw in the white towel on this season, because I'm just not sure if the Cardinals have enough firepower to really catch anybody in the Central. And sadly, though, because it's only 4.5 games out right now, you know, a big bat, I think, would really put them over the top, because to this point, the Cubs do not scare me. The Brewers do not scare me. We could win this division if we had the right pieces in play.
You know what? I'm right there with you. But I have to tell you that I think you're right. I think that the move comes in the off season, and I think that might actually be the right choice. And let me tell you why. I as much as I want the Cardinals to go to postseason, I don't see them surviving past the first round, not in their current makeup. And so with that in place, I'm not saying throw the whole season away necessarily. I mean, still play and get your guys playing well, but also figure out what's going to happen. And I think, honestly, that Mike Feeney may bring to go. They're going to go for the season. I think that will go at the end of the season. And I think that this is a season that we start making some decisions and see what we have to move in the off season. So I'm there with you. And I hate throwing in the towel, but it is what it is. But hey, Tito, we've run out of time. 30 minutes flies. And
yes,
I appreciate you joining me. I appreciate any of the listeners who are with us. Special thanks to Scott D for the question that you emailed to us. You guys, anybody who listens and listens to this podcast after it's live, know that you can always send us messages. We'll tell you how to do it. Send us comments through Facebook or Twitter, and we'll be sure to answer those for you. So, Tito, thanks, and go Cardinals, right?
Yep, let's go.
All right, guys, countdown for the trade deadline starts right now. Okay, we're off the air.
Nice. That time flies.
I tell you, 30 minutes is gone. I always felt like I was talking so fast.
I feel like I was just kind of speeding through everything. I was trying to get as much as I could in without like taking that much time.
I know.
That goes by. That goes by. We did a good job, though.
Great.
I think we did what we set out to do. So I think we're good.
Oh no! He just sent us a question.
Oh, who did?
Scott Davidson. He sent and said, if we land a Stanton, do we trade Colton Wong and move Carpenter to second? I wish we could have gotten to it. I'm going to reply and tell him, sorry, I just now saw this and we are off the air. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Dang it. That was good.
I know.
Oh, man.
Especially when people are actually sending us stuff. Like, we want to get it out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, if we have a show tomorrow, you know, that's something we can also talk about tomorrow. So,
and I think we absolutely have to have a show tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
the
trade deadline
will have come and gone. We have to talk about what happened or did not happen. I'll be really ready to get on there because I go back to work tomorrow.
Oh geez, already?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. You know,
we've got a week of professional development in service, and then the kids come back on the following Monday. Kids here, I'll go back to school.
Wow.
Yeah, but luckily this year, that means that we all get out a week before Memorial Day.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Wow.
I'll take it.
Okay. Yeah, I would take that too. Man, that stings. I feel bad for Scott, but hey, at least we got his first couple questions in.
Yeah, and I replied to him and let him know that we just got it. And we're so sorry. At least he'll have a response. At least knows that he's not, you know, talking to the air.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hey, it was a great 30 minutes. Phenomenal.
Yep.
I stuck a commercial in there very briefly, which is always good.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, we are starting to get some really solid followers. The last episode had 68 listens as of this morning. I hadn't even put the commercials in yet.
Hey, that's pretty good. What about the other ones?
Let's see. Got to open in a new tab so I don't hang up on us. You got to keep the 68 mm-hmm. listens of podcast 17. Podcast 16 had 189.
Ooh.
Yeah. 15 had 40. 14 had 9, and then a lot of them haven't had any, you know, that they've tracked.
Okay. But 189, though?
189. Was 16 our two? No, 16 was not our 2 hour, was it?
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to see which one was that. 16 was me, you, and Josh, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was you. It was you. You, me.
Yeah.
That was the Marco trade.
Yeah, that was the day of the when we had a that guy come in. Mhm.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we should do more
really
often.
Awesome.
Get a special guest in.
Yeah. Hang on, I'm going to look and make sure these numbers aren't just the last 7 days.
Okay. That's fair.
I want to see. Yeah, okay.
Shoot.
That's 189 in the last 7 days.
Oh,
let me
shit.
See that. Yeah. I can't get it to give me anything else other than the last 7 days.
Oh, so it could be way more.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that is good. I'll take that.
Hang on, I might be able to find it in stats. Let me bring this up.
Because I was thinking, you know, if I was hoping, I was really, really hoping that the Nationals and Cardinals would make a trade, because my dad's godson actually writes for either the Washington Times or the Post in D.C. for the Nationals. And I was going to see if we could get him on and get his thoughts on the trade, if that would have happened. And he's like one of their main writers too. So he's got like 15,000 followers on Twitter. So it would have been a pretty big deal.
Okay, here we go. Now I switch it over to all listens. So
nice.
17 had 68.
Okay.
16 had 189.
Okay.
15 had 115.
Okay.
14 had 202.
Wow. What was 14?
Yeah, you're right.
Is that that?
14 was...
14. Yeah, 14 was the two-hour.
14 was the two-hour special.
Yeah. That is correct.
14 was when we were all on... Okay, but then episode 13 has 461
mm-hmm.
listens.
Damn.
461.
Holy
one
shit.
Is, I think that
wow.
was the first one that we did the cage match.
It was me, you, Josh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so then 12 had 81, 11 had 98, 10 had 133, 9 has 109, 8 has 187, episode 7 has 391.
What was that one? Let's see, episode 7, that would have, I mean, looking at the posts now, 7 would have...
Josh, Nathan, me.
Yeah, we
and
didn't do a recap for that one. Oh, no, I did
no,
do one.
That one was
bad.
Jose had made the comments about upgrading the team right before we played the Brewers, and we talked about the best ballpark food.
Okay, yeah. I remember
that
391.
Now. 391. Episode 6 had 118. Episode 5 had 288. Episode 4 had 162. Episode 3, 157. Episode 2, 10. Episode 141.
That's pretty good. I'm actually impressed with the numbers. I'm not... You know, I thought they were going to be a little lower, to be honest.
Yeah. But they're not.
I didn't think... No. I mean, well, so the highest one was almost 500 listens. And that was our...
Yep, the two-hour special got a 461.
Wow. That's actually pretty impressive. I would definitely share that with the group just to kind of give them the feedback and say, like, hey, we're getting listened to, so I think more promotion and I think, you know, Nate's idea of like putting quotes out there, like when we do pieces like that for like the previews and or the recaps of like getting quotes from what we say, I think that's definitely a good idea as well.
And I just keep forgetting to do that, but that's fantastic.
Oh, I do too.
It will drive people to listen if they hear a little, you know. So we've got our current page views right now sit at 435, 618.
That's not bad.
I
was really hoping we could crack 500 or at least get within 1,000 or so.
Well, I think
we still could do it.
We can still do it. I'm going to try to put together a slideshow either tonight or tomorrow, because I posted the preview for this for our trade deadline special in the featured, because
mm-hmm.
the featured that was up there was the fleeting power and it was not getting any clicks. Really?
I think it was a slideshow that could have been good if we didn't make a move or anything like that.
Right.
Think,
it was no one cared enough to read it right now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So you've done 24 posts and brought in 67,000, almost 68,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
Josh has done 11 and brought in 81,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
But now remember, he did one, at least one slideshow and maybe two.
Yeah, his Cardinals trade update, you know, that's the bulk of his views. And then his other one, his second slideshow, the one where it was like a week out, got,
yep,
you know, another bulk of it as well. And he also had the All-Star Break Summit piece as well. So his views are definitely,
yeah,
not that they're skewed, but they're definitely bolstered by three slideshows. So that's good.
And yours truly, who did not write a single slideshow at all this month, I don't think. I may have done one. I don't remember.
No, I did not write a slideshow. I haven't written a slideshow in a really, really long time.
Well, I'm saying I have not. And I did 30 posts this month, and I brought us 102,000 views.
That's good. That's awesome.
If we could,
yeah,
keep up that rate, if we had three people hitting over the 60 mark, man, we are going to blow them out of the water.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where the final month numbers show up, because I wanted to look back at what last month's was, like across,
yeah,
the MLB, you know, sites. I'm trying to find it right now. What day would he have sent that?
You know what? I don't know. I'm pulling up.
Oh, I found it.
Okay.
So, gosh, this will be tough. So I didn't realize how tough this was going to be. But
we should be third. I've got it pulled up too. And Tomahawk,
yeah,
Take had 587. Jay's Journal had 502.
I'm so confused as to how they have any material to write.
Well, it's not all that.
They have
so many writers. They may have a loyal following. They may have been around a whole lot longer.
And that's definitely fair. I just feel like they just don't have anything to write about because their team sucks. Not that the Cardinals are great, but.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I, you know, but they're also, Atlanta is
a big population.
Two times the size of St.
That's
Louis.
That's fair. That's
and
fair.
The Blue,
I didn't think
the
about
Blue Jays
that
are the only true Canadian team.
That's fair too.
And then you're talking about Yankees, and you're talking about the New York Metro, which is probably the same size as St. Louis. So.
Well, they're Mets. Yeah, that's fair. The Yankees should definitely be up there. I didn't think about it population terms wise. I was thinking maybe popularity of team meant a little bit more.
As long as we beat the Cubbies crib.
Yeah, I know.
And like,
what a terrible name. I would change
Motor
it.
Motor City Bengals. As long as we beat that, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm good with that, and I think I want to make sure we stay in front of Dodgers and those Aztecs at what's it called?
Call to the
where
pen.
Is it? No. I don't care about Call to the Pen. What's Trevor's running the brew or reviewing the brew?
Oh yeah, well he's not even on the list.
Yeah. As long as we're ahead of Trevor, I don't care.
And, I mean, hey, he came out of retirement again today to write a piece for us. So
I don't
have a problem.
A slight bit of buyer's remorse for sure.
Well, he had said initially going over there that it was not going to be the same because – and, you know, you heard from him back. Hey, you know, we are running this thing so much better than any other side.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I'm interested on how he made the decision to write for them, because I figured he wouldn't really know anything about the Brewers, but I guess he lives up that way.
He does, and he wanted
okay.
to get into a paying gig, and he
That's
had told
fair. That's fair.
He had told the fan side of people that, and so if you're honest about it and you tell them that going into it, I mean that's what I did. I said, hey. You know, I'd like to climb up, and it happened that it was at a time that Steven and I were, I was writing, Steven's the one who brought me in, and then his co-editor left, and Steven was alone. And then Steven said to me privately, here's my password. If you can help me out, and I'll work on them to get you in. And then that's how that all came to be.
Interesting.
I never thought that I'd be able to push it so far as to where you and I have pushed it. I really didn't. I never thought it would be a $500 a month income. You know, even if it's only 1 month, I mean, hell, that's 1 month that $500 is coming.
Well, that's what I was telling my wife, Jenna. I said, you know, at the start of this, you know, I wasn't really looking to get any money out of it because I just want to write because I like the Cardinals. That's all I really care about. And then when, you know, what we, you know, I kind of started doing the numbers, I was just like, shoot, if we really tried, we could really, really gain some serious money out of this. I mean, we're talking, you know, it's like you said, 500, almost $600 is just alone in July, you know. I told Jenna, like, the crappy part about it is that we get it 2 months later, but it's still a nice boost at when you get it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I did it because I wanted to just write. And writing every day makes you better at everything anyway. And whenever I go to interviews for things and people look on my – because I put on my resume, I'm proud of it. And it makes me different from everybody else who's in my field, you know, because there's not somebody else who's going to the interview like I did at the community college to be one of their executive team. And there's not another guy who's on the side editing and writing every day.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think what we should do is obviously, I mean, this is a couple of months later on, but once the season ends, I think we pull aside some of the main writers like you, ourselves, Josh, and whoever is continuing at a good, at a good pace, maybe Nate, once he gets back into the swing of things, because he's been kind of down this month. But we pull everybody aside and say, okay, here's where our strengths are, here's where we're weakest at, and where can we, and how do we improve that? Because then I think we really start honing in on, like, commenters like Jackson and really putting, you know, their money where their mouth is and saying, okay, you know, you guys don't do any analytics. Well, here we go. This is where we're starting at and how we get better at that.
I think it's a fantastic idea. And I'll tell you, in the off season between last year and this season, I had more time to do the analytical look, you know, because the landscape was not changing. And so you can really dig into the numbers. If you or I wrote a deep analytical sabermetrics piece today, in 3 days, that's null and void.
Right, and that's what I wanted to say to him was that look how frequently they're posting. They're posting literally, you know, a week, maybe 2 weeks, you know, out. You know, they don't post every day like we do. We don't have time to sit down and literally focus on analytical pieces only. So and that's why I gave him other examples of, you know, here's where I've done some analytics. While it's not your, you know, super advanced sabermetrics, you know, we do dig into it. It's just when it's in season, it's a little hard to do. And, you know, he brings out, you know, when he says Viva Alberto's, well, Viva Alberto's literally eats and breathes advanced sabermetrics. So they're, you know, putting us compared to them isn't fair to us.
Right.
So... And then the guys at the Intrepid, you know, they're good people. They can be a little cocky, but they don't have anything. They don't have anything else to do either. You know, they just kind of sit there and wait for it. And they're anchored by a guy who works covering the Cardinals. Like, none of us do that. So I think it's a little skewed.
Well,
and
in addition to that, he's not even the one who's really writing the deep sabermetrics. That's Zach, who started with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, so anyway, you're right. I mean, everybody's got a different bend. Our site, people love to come to for the rumors. I mean, you can look through, and I told you that early on. You look through and you see the pieces that get the most clicks. Those are the ones about rumors. And I'm happy to be that site. Come to our site. We're going to post every day, and we're going to tell you every rumor we hear about.
Right. My favorite is on Facebook whenever people are like, oh, God, another rumor. And I'm like, yeah. what are you expecting?
Well, all right. I got to go mow now.
Okay. Enjoy it.
Oh, I will. I don't know what game I'm going to listen to, but I always listen to some whatever game is on. I'll find somebody.
Yeah. Find the Memphis game. I'm pretty sure they're playing.
Memphis finished. At least.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I think they're done for the day. No, I just get on Sirius or I get on XM and find out. You know, go to somebody who's playing.
That's fair.
All right.
Enjoy.
Hear somebody. All right. I enjoyed it. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.